It is not good for man to be alone. When we say that the human person is created in the image and likeness of God, one of the things, perhaps the most integral part of that statement, is that the man, the human person, is made for relationship. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, the very nature of God, is one of relationship. So we have this beautiful story of creation in the first reading, reminding us it's not good for man to be alone. We're made for intimacy. We're made for relationship. It's part of who we are. It's the desire that drives almost everything within the human person. It's this desire for intimacy and relationship. This desire to be known and to be loved. God established the sacrament of marriage to encapsulate that. That as we're created in the image and likeness of God, that those who are called to the sacrament of marriage in a very real and particular way are an icon of that love of the Father and the Son to the entire world. They model, they image to everyone this intimacy that the Father and the Son have shared from the very beginning, if we can even say that, because they're outside of time. Those the Lord has called to marriage are called to imitate that love of the Father and the Son. And this is where the Pharisees and Jesus and the disciples were having that conversation. The nature of marriage, the purpose of marriage. Yes, the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus, test him, to trip him up. Jesus knew that Herod had killed John the Baptist because John the Baptist spoke the truth about marriage. Perhaps the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus in that same way. But whenever we talk about marriage, whenever we think about marriage, like, what is God's plan? What is God's purpose? He wants us to know how deeply loved we are. He wants us to know how deeply loved we are. And it's in the sacrament of marriage where that love of the Father and the Son is shining forth. And this is when two people come to the altar for marriage, before they exchange consent, the priest or the deacon will ask three questions. Have you come here freely, without coercion? Are you prepared to enter into marriage until you die? And are you prepared to accept children lovingly and to raise them up within the teachings of the church? Have you come here freely? Are you prepared to live faithfully? Are you prepared to live fruitfully? These three things, free, faithful, fruitful, these describe God the Father's love for each one of us. And this is why marriage is held in the way that it is. And why there's the laws and the rules about marriage. Because we need to know that our God the Father is freely loving us, faithfully loving us, and fruitfully loving us. It's a need that we have. And so it's a beautiful gift that those of you who are called to the married life are able to show me and to show everyone else the free, faithful, and fruitful love of the Father by your free, faithful, and fruitful love to your spouse. Yes, Jesus has some pretty, what seems to be harsh words when we talk about divorce and remarriage. And like I said last week, we have to always remember the gospel is good news. And so never let the words of Scripture be anything but good news. I mean, we know the stats, both on paper from the news, but from our own lives, how many of us have been touched by divorce. directly in our own family or very close to us. We know the pain and the torment that those people who go through divorce feel. Some people, it's a burden placed upon them. They didn't ask for it. Some were ill-prepared for marriage. There's a million different reasons. And if you are living with the effects of divorce, you have to know how much God loves you. How much God loves you. God can never not love you. Never let anyone misconstrue the teachings of the church and what she means when she puts forth her teachings about marriage, about what effect it has on you and your relationship with the Father. Maybe someone needs to go to confession. Maybe someone needs to come to talk to me or Deacon Doug or Monsignor Logan about the annulment process. There's ways that we can medicinally rectify situations. But never, ever feel that anything that you have done or was done to you has taken you out of the love of the Father. That's not what the church teaches, and that's not what Jesus was saying today. What he's saying is, marriage is a beautiful gift to the children of God as an image, an icon of God's love for each one of us. It's a serious responsibility that those who get married undertake. And so it's a serious responsibility. This is one of those hard teachings. But it is good news. We are made to be in an intimate, personal relationship with the Father. It's who we are. And if we don't have it, we search everywhere else looking for it, never able to find it. Allow these teachings of the church, even if they seem to be on the harsh side, to be good news for you. To let you know how much God loves you, his desire for you to be in intimate relationship with him. As we heard in Hebrews, the second reading, that Jesus was perfected through suffering. And one of the heresies we can say of the modern age is that we can make it through life without suffering. When St. Paul is talking about marriage, he tells wives to be submissive to their husbands. But that's only because he tells the husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And Christ loved the church by dying on the cross for her. There is a necessity, a necessary notion of suffering in whatever vocation the Lord calls us to. Don't let the suffering separate you from God's love for you. Again, if you are in what some might call an irregular situation, we are desperately waiting for you to come talk to us. We can help you rectify the situation. So once again, to be within full communion of the church. No one is excluded from communion of the church because of their marital status. It's only choices that we make that can exclude us from the communion of the church. It is not good for man to be alone. So God found a suitable partner for him, woman, his equal. And together they shine forth the love of the Father for each one of us. Let's pray for that grace to come to know and to live in the loving gaze of our Heavenly Father.